Morning. Today's Daf of Bakama is Pei Hei. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is only the Zechon Ishmas Libra, Gabriel and Bas Shmuel. We're starting today in Pei Dalam and Beis towards the top of the Amud. And we are in the middle of the discussion in the Gemara yesterday regarding what can be adjudicated in Bavel and what cannot be adjudicated in Bavel. So Rava made a statement on the very bottom of Pei Dalam at Aleph. And the statement basically goes as follows. I'm a Rava. I'm just reviewing. If your ox were to do damage to another ox, or if your ox were to do damage to a man, so that is something where we're going to collect in Bavel. We will do adjudication. And if it's Nisgad, the Adam Nisgad, the Bashur, ain't governors of Babava. However, if it's a person doing damage to another person, or if it's a person doing damage to somebody else's property, somebody else's ox, so then we're not going to adjudicate that in Bava. What left us yesterday scratching our head is, what in the world is the difference? Why is it that some cases will be judged and other cases will not be judged in Bavel? And it can't be that it's a function of smicha, because even though it's true, as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, there is no smicha outside of Eretz Yisrael. The smicha where the judge is a mumche and a musmach, both an expert judge and also has the smicha, has the tradition of going back generation to generation all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So yes, it's true, it's only given in Eretz Yisrael, and it's true that there are no musmachim living in Bavel. All that's true, but that's not going to explain the difference. Meaning, if we're going to be judging some cases, we should be judging all cases. And if we're going to be judging no cases, so then nothing should be judged outside. And the Gemara says, and maybe we'll make the argument that in Bavel, the judges are going to judge based on the fact of Shlichus, meaning they're serving as basically a proxy agency of the Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then, once again, we're kind of stuck. So then we should be adjudicating everything and not making any distinction between whether or not it was your property that damages or whether it was you yourself that damaged. So this is where we ended up with yesterday, kind of in a stalemate. We did not finish up the Gemara yesterday. So let's pick it up right where we left off yesterday. We are towards the top of Pei Dalam Amud Beis. We are trying to figure out what exactly is an explanation of this distinction of what cases will and what cases will not be judged in Bavel. Amre. It's about 6-7 lines down from the top of the Amud. It's the last one in the line. Amre, Shur B'Shur B'Shur B'Adam Nami Lo Kimle B'Gavei. So the Gemara makes a suggestion that when it comes to your ox doing damages, so shor b'shor v'shor ba'adam nami lo kim le begavei. We're not particularly sure. La poch chazi heichem is davnei to a b'shuka. So the Gemara says, but what we do is we go out into the market and we see how much it's sold for. Adam 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 b'shor nami poch chazi heicha mis davnei avdei b'shuka. But if it's a person doing damage to another person, so once again, just go out and see how much a person is sold on the market. Meaning, we can appraise exactly how much damage is done. And maybe it's not exactly how much damage is done, but at least we can get a good enough idea. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you this, and if it's a question of we're estimating, we don't really know, well, something like Kefal or Dal Vehei, there's no estimation. We know. You stole an item. You were caught with the item that you stole. So we absolutely know that you have to pay back the item and you have to pay its value again. Well, that's something which is not, we're not guessing. We know. And so the Gemara says, Amri kika avdin shu chasai b'mamona b'kenas alo avdin shu chasai. Okay. So the Gemara makes the following headway in this discussion. The Gemara says that when we serve as an agent of the Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael, and we're acting on their behalf, that's in terms of tashlam, in terms of monetary payment, that is in terms of reparation. But anything which is a knas, we don't do knas. Knas is something that only is done in Eretz Yisrael by the musmachim of Eretz Yisrael, but not outside. So the Gemara says, Adam, Adam, Demamonu, Navishichusai. So the Gemara says, okay. But that is an incomplete answer. Because if it's a question of mamon versus knas, so the Gemara says, so then I still don't understand. A person damages another person. Our parak of Baba Kama. So if one person is injuring another person, that's not knas. That is, I created a monetary loss on that other person. I need to pay for that loss. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, so then that should be judged also. So kikav din shuchusai ben milsa d'shchichi. So the Gemara says, adam adam d'lo shchichi lo av din shuchusayu. So the Gemara says, okay, but we will only adjudicate cases in Bavel where it's common. A person injuring another person is not as common, so therefore we won't judge those types of cases. So the Gemara says, Hari Boshe, Supagam Dishchiach, Navishichusayo. So the Gemara says, okay, but embarrassment, meaning that's common. People embarrass one another all the time, unfortunately. And so therefore, if the criteria is something which is common versus something which is uncommon, so embarrassment should be judged outside of Eretz Yisrael here in Bavel. So Amri Hachinami Daha Rav Papa Agbe Abre Mezuzah Laboshes. So the Gemara says, okay, well, so that's not a question. I'm telling you, in the court of Rav Papa, who was a Babylonian, so he collected 400 zuz for embarrassment, for one person embarrassing another person. Vahalesala de Rav Papa, the Gemara says, okay, I know Rav Papa did that, but that's not the consensus viewpoint. In fact, the Gemara said, this takes us back to the towards the beginning of the Masechta, Shachle Rav Chista Rav Nachman, Vishachle Rav Chista, I'm sorry, Vishalachle. So the Chista Chenista Kenasa Kamagbis Bebavel, Rav Nachman sent correspondence over to Rav Chista and basically said to him, we don't do that. We don't collect any type of Kenasa out here in Bavel. So if it is not anything that is above basic reparation of the damage that you've done, we do not collect that in Bavel. The Gemara over here describes Boshes as being something above regular remuneration. So therefore, Ella, the Gemara says, Ki avdina shichusai b'milsa d'shchich v'is b'chisaron kis. Ava misa d'shchich v'les b'chisaron kis, inami milsa d'lo shchich v'is b'chisaron kis, lo avdina shichusayu. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to put everything together, and this is the conclusion we're going to arrive at. If it is something which is common and it's remuneration for damages that you've done, it has to be both, then we're going to adjudicate those cases outside of Eretz Yisrael here in Bavel. And we will be serving as proxy of the Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael. Gemara says, but if it's missing either one of those, meaning it's if it's common but it's not reparation, if it is, meaning it's punitive, or if it is punitive, if it's uncommon, but it's reparation, if it's one of the two, it's not going to be enough for us to adjudicate it. It has to be both. Hilkach. The Gemara says, now that we've said that, we can now say, when one person hits another person and causes damages, so yes, there's actual damage, and yes, it's remuneration. However, but it's uncommon, and because it's uncommon, so therefore we don't act as a proxy. But and another, and embarrassment. Now again, yes, it's true. Embarrassment is unfortunately common. People embarrassing each other all the time, but came with the last bechus on kiss. But there's no actual loss. It's not an actual damage. That is something which is above damages that you're paying. So lo avdin shechusayu. So that also is something we don't collect in Bavel. Sure, b'shur govin b'bavel. But if it's sure b'shur, if it's an ox damaging another ox, so that's a match. Meaning that will hit the threshold of us judging those cases in Bavel. Because if one ox damages another ox, that is actual damage, that is remuneration, and that is common, and so therefore those are cases that are going to be judged here in Bavel.
What happens if somebody kills somebody?
These are just on money issues. Killing, so that for sure will not be judged outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Didn't they have rabbis that traveled from Israel to Bavel?
Well, we're going in the moment the Gemara is going to discuss that there could be court decisions in Eretz Yisrael that influence Bavel, but in other words, no, you will not have cases being judged outside of Eretz Yisrael. Didn't seem that way. And then if it's a question of murder, so then it's simply not going to be judged. Vahama Rava, the Gemara says, Shor Shehizik ain govern oso bebavel. Now, if your ox damages, we will not collect that in Bavel. The Azik man. So the Gemara says, well, who did it damage? Elam dazik adam ma'iria shor dazik adam afil adam dazik adam nami ain govern oso bebavel. Now, if we're talking about where the victim is a person, Gemara says victim is a person. Even if a person damages another person, we've already established that those are cases that we're not going to be judging in Bavel. It's uncommon. Elapshita da'azik shor. So it must be that we're talking about a case where an ox damages another another ox, Viktani and Govnos of Babel. And he just said that we do not collect those in Babel. And that runs contrary to what we've been saying up until since the beginning of this morning. Where since the beginning of this morning, the Rava statement was, sure, but sure, we do collect in Babel. It does meet the criteria. It's common and it's and there are actual damages. Amri. To that, the Gemara's answer is as follows. Ha'asam b'tam. Ha'acha b'mu'ad. So the Gemara says, okay, so we'll make the following distinction. If you're sure that damages is a short time, that's unusual. That's unexpected. We'll file that under the category of uncommon. And therefore, that's something which we will not adjudicate and collect in Bavel. However, if it's a mu'ad, so that's something which the animal now is expected to do the damage. It has done damages before, and therefore that's now considered common, and therefore that's something which we're going to collect in Bavel. V'hamarava ein mu'ad b'bavel. So the Gemara says, okay, but here's just a simple problem, and it's not so, and it's... It is a simple problem, but it's very technical, but it's a problem. So now we're making the distinction that if the animal that damages is a tam, so that's something we're not going to collect because that's uncommon. But once the animal becomes a mu'ad, so that we are going to collect. How is the animal going to become a mu'ad? Meaning if we're not judging the tam cases, so then we don't have a process in which the animal matriculates from being a tam to being a mu'ad. So how do you get to the point of the animal being a mu'ad? So Amri, the Gemara says, the Iyad Hatam the Isul Lahacha. So the Gemara says where it I'm sorry, the Iyayed Hasam Vaisulahacha. So the Gemara says, okay, so what happened was is that the animal was in Eretz Yisrael and there it behaved in its vicious cycle, and it was declared to be a mu'ad in Eretz Yisrael, and then the animal got exported out to Bavel. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, okay, but that's very uncommon and that's very unusual, and again, in order for us to judge cases here in Bavel, it has to be something which is a little bit more common and a little bit more usual. That's very unusual, that you just described. So the Gemara says, and you said, once it's uncommon, we're not going to judge those cases in Bavel. So the Gemara says, "Das Rabbanan Dahasam V'yad Dohacha." So the Gemara says, "Okay, this is the example that that I just mentioned earlier, where the courts of Israel, are going to come to Bavel, and they're going to judge the cases here in Bavel in terms of establishing that the animal is a mu'ad." So Sof Milsad Lo Shchichahi, V'at Amar Milsad Lo Shchichah Lo Ka Avdin Shuchasayu. So the Gemara says, "But that's of course also unusual." So once again, once it falls under the category of unusual, we don't judge those cases in Bavel. So the Gemara says, you're right. The statement of Rava that when your ox does damages, you're going to be paying because that's something which is common usual. That's not talking about negicha. That's not talking about where the animal gores. The animal goring is something which is unusual. If it's a tam, that's unusual. If it's a muad, even though the animal is expected to do so. But generally speaking, the animal is not going to be going from tam to muad here in Bavel. So that's also uncommon. That's unusual. And even if you want to tell me that the animal becomes a mu'ad in Eretz Yisrael, or the judges from Eretz Yisrael come here to establish the animal to be a mu'ad, that's also uncommon. So the Gemara says, okay, so scratch all that. And rather, what we're talking about is a case of Shein V'Regel, where the animal did damage either through eating or through walking. That is mu'ad d'mitzchilasim. That's something which is expected. Those are the cases which we are going to judge here in Bavel. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So very interesting discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara just wrapped it up. And that is a discussion of what cases will be judged outside of Eretz Yisrael when you don't have Dayan Musmachim. You don't have the Mumchem Musmachim, the expert ordained judges of Eretz Yisrael. So what cases can be judged outside of Bavel? So here are the parts that are clear. We're certainly going to judge Hodos V'Alvos. The Gemara said that, we said that yesterday. And that was on the top of the Amud. Meaning any type of basic financial litigation on loans and admissions, so that's going to be judged in Bavel. Otherwise, if we don't do that, no one's going to lend money to one another. If I can't take the person to court in order to collect my money, so that's going to be judged outside of Bavel. Bavel. And then the Gemara then said, what else is going to be judged in Bavel? So it has to meet two criteria in order for it to be judged outside of Eretz Yisrael. Number one, it has to be something which is common. Something uncommon we won't judge. Number two, it has to be where we're talking about actual financial loss. Something like the payment of embarrassment or any other kanas is not going to be paid outside of, it's not going to be judged, I should say, outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's only going to be something which is common and something which represents an actual real financial loss. It has to be those two criteria in order for those two cases to be judged outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Okay.
Doesn't Shane and Bagel require a court to...
Yeah, in other words, yeah, we'll set up a court and we'll judge and we'll do so as a proxy of Eretz Yisrael. But under which cases can we serve as a proxy? Only in those cases which we just outlined.
How about the Get and the
Ruth's and all that kind of stuff? So Get also, now a Get, oddly enough, the Gemara never actually says we need a Beis Din. Our practice nowadays is that we have a Beis Din for a Get. Okay, but that's and the same thing is true regarding marriage. You don't need a Beis Din for marriage. You don't need a Beis Din for marriage. You don't need, at least according to the Gemara, you don't need a Beis Din for a Get. Again, our practice, we're machmer on this point, but it's not clear in the Gemara that you can make a very strong argument that there's no court requirement for a Get. You just need two witnesses. And Yerusha, again, you don't need a Beis Din for Yerusha. You may need a Beis Din for appraisal, and you know, but. Okay, maybe, but again, we're talking about something which is fundamentally necessary. Needs a court.
But sure, what they have to go to Israel.
So, either that or just simply goes unjudged. So it's an unjudged case out in Bavel. Okay. Sar Shalom Makom Nezek Mishalim. Okay, we learned back in the Mishnah that if it's just pain and there's no actual damage, so that's something that you have to pay for. And this is going to really take over most of today's discussion, and that is we're going to be discussing isolation of the other payments, meaning. The simplest case of damages when one person damages another is where you damage the body and then you have all these collateral events that take place, meaning you have the pain, you have the medical bills, you have the disability, and sometimes you have embarrassment. So, and they are all coming together with the basic injury. What we're going to be discussing over most of this morning, starting now, is it possible to have a discussion of these other payments coming separate and independent of that of the actual damage itself? Meaning, what if what I did to another person was not actual damage, but painful? I caused tremendous pain to somebody else. Talking about physical pain. Do I pay for that in of itself, even though it's not complementing any damage? That's our discussion. So the Gemara says. Well, now, first of all, before we start with the Gemara, from the Mishnah, the answer is yes. Meaning the Mishnah's position is very clear. The Mishnah talks about some sort of pain inflicted on someone's fingernail, right? One of the torturous practices is to basically shove something under the fingernail. Terribly painful. And now, yeah, there's a little bit of damage, but when the Gemara is talking about damage, the Gemara is talking about amputation, right, a gouging of the eye, meaning the Gemara is talking about serious damage. Over here, we're really, it's mostly pain, with a little bit of damage, but it's mostly pain. Do you pay for that pain? Our Mishnah said yes, and the Gemara now discusses. Sar Shalom Makom Nezek Mishtalin. Okay, so first the Gemara just simply arrives at a simple conclusion from our Mishnah. You pay for pain even though the pain doesn't have any actual damage coming along with it. So, Mantana Amarava Benazaihu. So the Gemara says, now, who is the author of that opinion? The Gemara says it is Benazai based on the following Brisa. Now, this Brisa is going to be vague. The Brisa, I cannot understate how much the Brisa is definitely saying something, but we're not sure what the Brisa is really saying. Rabbi Omer Kviya Damra Nemra Tchila. Benazai Omer Chabur Nemra Tchila. So Rebbe and Benazir are having a debate of what's said in the Torah first. Is it Kviya or is it Chabura? Now that's a funny debate. Meaning, you open up a Chumash, you read the Pasuk inside, it's pretty hard to argue which appeared in the Torah first. The word Kviya or the word Chabura. So clearly when they're having this debate, they're not arguing of how exactly to phrase the Pasuk in the Torah. The Pasuk in the Torah is a constant. So, obviously, what they're having is some sort of conceptual debate. What are they arguing about? So this is what the Gemara here is going to try to explain. Rebbe's of the opinion that when the Torah says the word kviya, that indicates a damage that doesn't have an actual damage with it. Meaning somebody got burnt, and the only thing the person, the victim, experiences really is pain, but no actual damage. And when the Torah says the word chabura, the Torah is telling us that it has to be that in order for there to be a financial obligation between the inflictor of the pain and the recipient of the pain, the recipient has to have not only pain, but an actual wound coming together with the pain.
Something short.
Right. That is Rebbe's understanding of the Torah. And Benazai Savak via Desbechabura Mashma. Now Benazai says, no, I disagree with your presumption, with your original assumption. I think the word kviya means a pain with a wound attached to it. And the word chabura, therefore, is coming to tell us that even if it's a burn that doesn't have a chabura, you still are financially obligated. So basically, it's a question of what our starting assumption is when the Torah says the word kviya, and then once we have a starting assumption, what's the word chabura coming to do with our starting assumption? Okay, and now the way we're expressing it, Rebbe says that in order for a person to be chayev on pain inflicted from one to another, it has to be, according to Rebbe, pain accompanied with an actual damage, physical damage. And Benaz is of the opinion that no, pain in of itself, one is liable. And then what comes out is, it's really not conclusion. It comes out now that our Mishnah that does obligate a person to pay for just pain is following the opinion of Benazai and not following the opinion of Rebbe. I say it's odd because, generally speaking, the editor of the Mishnah is Rebbe, and generally, not always, but generally, the opinions in the Mishnah are going to be following the opinions of Rebbe. But right now, with the Gemara setting it up, where our Mishnah is following Benazai and not Rebbe. So Rapapa says, I think it's just the opposite. Meaning, I think that your starting assumption should be just the opposite. Rebbe Amar Kviya Nemar Tchila. So, the word Kviya said first, Savar Kviya Dis Bechabura Mashma. And the word Kviya means something that has with it physical pain. Sorry. Physical damage. And the word chabura is coming to tell us that even if the kviya doesn't have a chabura coming along together with it, you're still going to have to pay. And the starting assumption according to Benazai is that if it's a burn that doesn't have damages, that also is included. And it's Benazai who takes the position that only time that a person has to pay for damages is only when it's pain accompanied with actual physical damage. So Rav Papa says it's just the opposite. Let's put a comma in there, over there in the Gemara. So now, according to Rav Papa, the positions are reversed. And now that the positions are reversed, as Rashi points out over here on the bottom of the Amud, where our Mishnah works out a lot better because now our Mishnah is taking the opinion of Rebbe, which again works out in general a little bit better, that you pay for pain even if there's no actual physical damage accompanying the pain. Or another way to understand it is that the word kviya is coming to indicate or to coming to include pain that is with, accompanied with or without a with physical damage. And Vahacha, and we know, okay, but we know there's a debate between Rebbe and Benazai. What is debate? Bichlalu pranam rechakim zeh mizeh. So the question now is as follows. Do we understand this to be a case in the Torah of klalu prat? Now, klalu prat, Torah gives a generality, followed then by specific. So if it's generality followed by specific, ein bechlal elamash beprat. So the basic rule is that the specific is the defining points of the klal. That's if you have only klalu prat. Here, it's a little bit tricky because we have the word chabura. The chabura is a general term that includes Sorry. We have the word kviya, and the kviya is a general term that includes everything, whether it has physical damage, whether it doesn't have physical damage, and then the Torah has the word chabura. Now, the word chabura is a specific where it is only something with actual physical damage. So, are we going to say that this is a classic klal prat? Why wouldn't it be a classic klal prat? So, the problem is that... the problem is that you have the word petza in the Torah separating the word kviya and chabura. So this is now an example where I have a klal, I have a prat, but they are not right next to one another. Do we judge this as klal prat? And the Gemara says, and that's the machlokas. Rabbi Sover ain't done no sub klal prat. Rabbi says we don't judge this as a case of klal prat. And Ben Azai Sover done no sub klal prat. We do judge this as a case of klal prat. V'chitem achabur l'Rabbi l'Amali. So the Gemara says now, according to Rabbi, where we don't judge this as a klal prat, so then why would the Torah need to introduce the word chabura? Because the truth of the matter is, according to Rabbi, you are going to have to pay for damages whether the pain has an actual physical infliction or whether it doesn't even have a physical infliction. So if that's true, so then why would the Torah say the word chabura? For so the Gemara says damim miserim, and as Rashi explains over here, damim miserim means that you're going to have to pay both payments. Meaning, if I cause somebody both pain and actual physical damage, so don't make the argument and don't say, okay, I know the Torah obligates me, but maybe the Torah obligates me only paid for one of the two, but not for both. So Rashi says, that's what we're learning, according to Rebbe, when the Torah says both kviya and the Torah says chabura, that you have to pay for both. Okay. All right, that's right. Machlokas Rabbi and Ben Azai, two opinions in the Gemara, whether or not our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of Ben Azai, or whether the Gemara is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi. Either way, the halacha is very clear that that you pay for pain, even if there is no actual physical damage that accompanied the pain. But if you inflict pain on somebody, you have to pay for that pain. Okay, how do I assess pain by itself? How are we going to isolate the financial payment of pain? That is the next Gemara. Omdim kama adam kayotze bezerotzelito v'chulei. So the Mishnah gave us some sort of basic formula, but truth be told is that from the Mishnah, it's not particularly clear how exactly we assess the payment of pain. The Gemara goes on to discuss. Sabra makom nezek hechi shaminan. So how do we evaluate this kind of pain? Amar Rabbi Udishmo omdim kama adam rotzelito likto lo yado. So the Gemara says, well, we'll see. I'm going to ask you a question. How much would you like me to give you so that I chop off your hand? It's a simple question. Okay, so here, just put your hand down right here on this table. And right, I'll tell you, the knife will be sharp, okay, I promise. And just tell me, how much is it worth to you for me to chop off your hand? So the Gemara says, that is ridiculous. So first of all, the Gemara says, we're trying over here to isolate pain. And the payment of just pain in of itself. If I'm asking you, how much is it worth to you for me to chop off your hand? So that's pain plus actual physical damage. So that's not what we're trying to do over here. And furthermore, va'od b'shuftani askinan, come on, are we dealing with just stupid people? Meaning, what are we talking about over here? Right, how much is it worth for you to chop off your hand? That's not exactly an intelligent conversation where two sane, rational people are having with one another. So Allah, the Gemara says, l'to yado haktua. So the Gemara says like this, okay. Let's say your hand is basically ineffective. It's connected to your body, but it's not. Unfortunately, there's no nerve connection. It doesn't work, right? It's what the Gemara describes as yado haketua. It's there, but it's not there. And so now it's a dysfunctional hand. It serves no function. And now I'm going to ask you, how much would you pay me in order for me to cut it off? So now, even though what the Gemara is right now assuming is that there's no physical damage, because it's a useless hand anyway, and really the only thing that you're going to be experiencing is pain. So this is a way for the Gemara to say we are isolating the pain. So the Gemara says, but even that's not good. Yado akatua nami lo sar lechude ika ha tsaro boshes ika. Dixi filei milsa lemishkel mi psarao lemishdil leklavim. So the Gemara says, but that's not an isolation of just pain. That's embarrassing. Meaning at least when you had the hand on your hand, on your arm, so, okay, you walked around, it was not an effective hand, it didn't work, but at least your hand is there. Now you're going to be watching your hand be cut off, and of course there's pain, but in addition to the pain, you're going to be watching your hand being fed to the dogs. It's embarrassing to have your hand cut off. So the Gemara says that's also not going to be a good formula. Ella, omdim kama adam rosa lito likto lo yado amuktav lamalkos. Bein sam lisayef. So the Gemara says, okay, for whatever reason, the king decided that your hand is going to be cut off. And now it's just a question of how it's going to happen. Either it'll be cut off with a knife, or it'll be cut off with some sort of anesthesia and some sort of drug, and it'll limit the pain. So the Gemara says, so how much would you pay in order to be cut off with the difference between having it cut off with a sword versus having it cut off with the drugs? Amri, hachinami lo shakol amitzar nafshei. So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? I'd rather not experience the pain altogether. So ella omdim kama adam rotza litein likto lo yadam uchsav lamachus bein saif lasam. So the Gemara says, okay, so basically this is what it is. Your hand is going to be cut off. The king decided you're going to be cutting off your hand, and then it's now just a question of how. So here are your two options. Either we're going to take a knife and just cut it, and it's going to be immensely painful, or we're going to use a drug, and we'll somehow anesthetize the area, and we'll cut it off using the drug. So your hand's going to be cut off. It's just a question of with or without pain. So high lito litain mi baile. So the Gemara over here just has a technicality. The Mishnah uses the word litol, and the word should not be litol, but rather the word should be litain. How much am I ready to give so that I don't experience the pain? So the Gemara says, Amar Ravuna, Breder of Yeshua, litol zeh, mizeh, mashenasan zeh. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll read into the Mishnah, but that's yes. That's the idea behind the Mishnah. How much would a person give in order not to experience the pain? And it's the only thing that the person has an option over. And that would be a way of assessing pain and just pain. Okay.
The fee of anesthesiologist.
Right, exactly. Ripui akau chayev lirafosa v'chulei tanu rabbanan. Okay. Now, another payment that comes along when a person damages another is the medical bills. Ripui. Okay, this is great. Today's daf is dedicated to general medical practitioners. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned the following brayso alobot smeichim achmas amake. V'nistra amake. Chayev lirafosa v'chayev litein lo demei shifto. Shalom achmas amake, eino chayev lirafosa v'eino chayev litein lo demei shifto. So we start off with the opinion of the Tanakhama. Tanakhama discusses tzmachim, some sort of, I don't know how to describe it well, literally sprouts, right? Something comes about as a result of the wound. And so v'nistra amake, now the wound goes back to being unhealed. So you are obligated here meaning the chova, the one who inflicted the damage, has to continue paying the doctor until you have a full recovery from the damages that were done. But if there is some sort of side symptoms that are coming, but not as a result of the wound that was inflicted, the chova does not have to pay for that. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Machmas Hamaka Chayv L'Rafoso Vena Chayv Lo Demei Shifto. Rabbi Yehuda is a very interesting shita, and that is that if you have a recurring problems as a result of the wound, so the chovel has to keep paying for the medical bills. However, the chovel does not have to pay for the recurring disability, meaning for the disability you only pay for the first time. But if anything comes about again as a result of the original wound, so Rabbi Yehuda says that you don't pay for the recurring disability. The why we'll get to in just a moment. So we have so far two opinions in the Braisa, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakhama says that I pay for recurring medical bill and recurring disability. Rabbi Yehuda says recurring medical bill, yes. Recurring disability, no. And v'chachamim amrim shifto v'rufuso or refuaso. Kol shechay b'shevis, chay b'ripu, v'sheinu chay b'shevis, einu chay b'ripu. And the chachamim say that the two go hand in hand. When I'm obligated for one, I'm obligated for the other. When I'm not obligated for one, I'm not obligated for the other. And of course, we're going to have to deal with the issue of where do the Chachamim disagree with the Tanakhama? Because that seems to be exactly the opinion of the Tanakhama. So, b'mai kamiflagi. So the Gemara wants to know, what are they all arguing about? We have three opinions in the Braisa, Tanakhama, Rav Yehuda, and the Chachamim. And where exactly stands the Nekuda Machlokis between these three opinions? Amrav Ashkechins l'Rabbanan bebei Rav Diazi v'ka'amre. So I went to the yeshiva and we sat and we discussed. So the Gemara says as follows. You have a wound. Does it need to be bandaged, yes or no? Okay, now again, I am not expressing a medical opinion over here. I don't have a medical opinion. I'm not a practitioner. But the Gemara says that what is at odds over here in the Braisa is, should a wound be bandaged? Now the Chachamim, the Tanakhama in the Braisa says yes, it needs to be bandaged. Rabbi Yehuda Savra Makalo Nitna Lagaid, and the Rabbi Yehuda says is that a wound should not be bandaged. And Ripoy the Tana Beikra Mechayev Shevis the Lo Tana Beikra Lo Mechayev. Now, if you look at the pasuk and you look at where the Torah describes the obligation of the chovel to pay for the medical bill, the Torah says virapo yirape. The Torah does a double language of refuah, which means that even though really the doctor should not have bandaged up the wound, the doctor should have left the wound unbandaged, and now recurring problems as a result of the bandages, and the doctor shouldn't have done that. So the Tanakhama fundamentally disagrees. Tanakhama says no, you need to bandage it up. And yeah, there's going to be recurring problems, but proper treatment is that it should be bandaged up. So the Tanakhama says that there really is nothing to talk about. Rav Yehuda is telling you that no, really the doctor should not have bandaged it up, but he did. Or even the patient bandaged it up, either way. Shouldn't have done it. But the fact that the Torah says by refuah, rapo yirape, the double language, that comes to tell me that even though he didn't treat it quote-unquote correctly, but still, you have to, yeah, the chovel is obligated to continue paying for the medical bills until it's healed, even though he didn't do totally the proper treatment. As far as disability is concerned, no, there we can be judgmental. If you didn't do proper treatment, I don't have to pay for recurring disability, because when it comes to disability, it only says the word shevis in the Torah once, not twice. That is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ramakal nitna lagid ripu de tana beikra lamechayev shevet ala tana beikra lamechayev." Okay, so that is the explanation. Now, parenthetically, this explanation is only between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. We still have a third opinion of the Braisa, which we have left unexplained. But right now, we're just trying to flesh out the difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Amina luhu ana. Now, I said, "Imakal nitna lagid ripu inam lamechayev." The Gemara says, "I don't understand. If a wound should not have been bandaged, so then what was done was medically unnecessary and running counter to what should have been done, and I don't have to pay for the recurring medical bill." So the Gemara says, "Ela dekulei alma maka nitna la agev lo nitna la agev yasera." So the Gemara says that a wound should be bandaged. However, basic bandaging, but not. A heavy wrap. And the Gemara says in Rav Yehuda Sava Kevin Dolanitna Lagid Yesera Ripui De Tana Beikra Mechayev Shevet Zolat Tana Beikra La Mechayev. And the Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that since you put on excessive bandages, so therefore we're going to make a distinction. Since the Torah says by Ripui Rapo Yerape, so then yeah, you have to pay for the recurring medical bill. But since Shevet is said only once, you only have to pay for one disability. V'Rabbanan Savri Kevin De Tana Beikra Be Ripui Ashevet Nami Mechayev De Itkish La Ripui. And the Chachamim, meaning this is now the third opinion of the Braisa, will say, look, since the Torah puts Ripu and Shevet side by side, the Torah says, Rak Shifto Yitain Virapo Yirape. So basically the Torah links the two. Once you're obligated to pay for the medical bill, you also have to pay for the disability. Rav Yehuda Savra Shevet Lo Mechayev Demiate Kra Rak. Now, Rav Yehuda's counter-argument to that is, the Torah introduces this expression with the word rak, that's a limitation. And V'Rabbanan, rak l'shalom makmas amakahu da'asa. And the Chachamim will tell you that no, that the rak is a limitation, but the limitation is any collateral injury that come, or a collateral problem that comes, but not as a result of the original wound. Now, according to the Chachamim of the Braisa, meaning the third opinion of the Braisa, that understands that there's a link between Shevis and Ripui, why does the Torah repeat the words Rapo Yurape? The Gemara says, that's coming to teach us another halacha. What's the other halacha? The permission is given to the doctors to go ahead and to practice medicine. Meaning that we have a license, the Torah is issuing a license to the doctors to go ahead and to practice medicine. You might have thought, doctors shouldn't practice medicine. Meaning, if a person gets sick, what should he do? So he should turn to his creator and say, look, this is coming as a result of you. So you made me sick, you'll heal me. Right? Why are we getting the doctors involved? There should be a direct relationship between a person and his creator. So the Torah, by saying rapo yirape in the double language, is giving us a license for the doctors to go ahead and to practice medicine. If you take a look at Tosfos over here, very interesting Tosfos. Shenitna Rishus Lerofa Lerapa. So the double language of Rapo Yirape, according to one opinion of the Gemara, is to give doctors license to practice. V'im Tomar, third to last Tosfos. V'ha Merape Luchudesha Minale. What do you mean? What do you mean the double language? Once the Torah says it once, well, that already provides license for the doctors to practice medicine. Meaning you go and get healed, obviously from a doctor. Who else is going to heal you? So one time should be enough. Why does the Torah have to say it twice? Very interesting Tosfos. Tosfos writes, "V'yishlomer d'hava amina hanimila maka bide adam avacholi haba bide shamayim kishemerape nira kisoster gzeres amalach kamash v'lan tashare." Very interesting. If somebody else damages me, somebody else hits me, so then yeah, this was a wound that was inflicted by somebody else. Fine, I'm going to run to the doctor. But if I have an illness that does not come as a result of somebody else, but if I have an illness that comes just because it came, because that's what illness does, so then ahava mina, I might have thought, okay, for that, that's between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and don't get the doctors involved. That's what I would have thought. The second rapo, the second yirape, is coming to tell me that even for that kind of illness, I am allowed, I am entitled to go to a doctor, and the doctors do have licenses to go ahead and to heal me. So the Tosfos says that's what I learned from the double language. This is a very, very interesting Evan Ezra on the Torah. Evan Ezra on the Torah says that it's not a halacha. But it's a very interesting opinion. He says that for wounds that are external, so that you have the right to go to the doctor. But if it's an internal wound, so the Evan Ezra says for that you shouldn't go to a doctor. You should. That's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that let Hashem deal with that Himself. It's not a halacha, but in other words, it certainly fits in with the basic idea, at least the havamina of what Tosfos was suggesting, that wounds that are not inflicted by other people, again, as a havamina, I would have thought that I should just deal directly with God and not go through a doctor. Either way, that's what we learn out from the double language, that you do go to a doctor. Okay, a little bit more on this topic. Tana Rabbanan, minayin she'im alu boats machim ach masamakav nistra amakash chayv lerafoso v'chayv liten lo shifto tamalamar rak shifto yitim v'rapo yirape. So the Gemara quotes the Brisa, and the Tanakhama the Brisa says is that even I have recurring complications that are coming from the original wound, so there is an obligation to pay for the recurring complications, both the medical bills and the disability. Yachal afilo shalamach masamakav tamalamar rak. Now what if they are complications but not coming as a result of the original wound, so that you don't have to pay, which again is obvious, but the Gemara is going to speak that out in just a moment. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Af Machmas Amake, Pater, Shenemar, Rak, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I don't have to pay for the recurring complications. To which the Gemara says, Igad Amri, Af Machmas Amake, Pater, Legamre, Kerabanam Basrai. Even if those recurring complications come as a result of the original wound, you're going to be exempt. Like the third opinion of the previous Braisa, V'yigidamri af machmas amaka pater mishevis v'chay beripui kaman kavua. Or another way to understand Rav Yehuda is that the recurrent complications, you don't have to pay, but you don't have to pay disability. You do have to pay for the medical bill, and Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda is espousing the viewpoint of his father. Meaning, in the previous brisa, we saw that second opinion, Rav Yehuda making the distinction between recurring medical bill versus recurring disability. On medical bill, you pay for recurring medical bill because the Torah repeats, Rapo Yerape. On recurring disability, there you pay only the first time, but not any recurring disability. Amar Mar. Now, in the brace that we just quoted, we're going back to the Tanakama, Yachla Filo Shalomach Masamaka, Tamalamar Rak, Shalomach Masamaka. I'm sorry, Rak. Shalomach Masamaka by Ikra. The Gemara asks the obvious question. If I have a complication, but this complication has nothing to do with the original wound, so then why would I need a brisa to explain to me, oh, for that the chovel doesn't have to pay? Of course the chovel doesn't have to pay. That complication is not connected to the wound that he inflicted. Amrei mashlo machmas amake kedetanya harisha avar diver al diver arocha v'achol dvash v'chol menei mesika mimnei she dvash v'chol menei mesika kashlo amaka v'hel amaka aso gorgasni yachli yechayv l'rafoso tamalomar rak. So the Gemara says the following. Let's say the following. The doctor gave sound advice in terms of what the person should do. And I'm sure the doctors in this room have never experienced this. And can you imagine the patient was not compliant? The patient did not do what the doctor instructed to do. So, I damaged somebody. He went to the doctor. Doctor gave him sound medical advice. And he didn't listen to the doctor. So, do now I have to pay for the recurring complication, the recurring medical bill, when he didn't listen to the doctor? That's what the Tanakama is saying in that brisa. The answer is unequivocally no. If he didn't listen to the sound medical advice that was given to him, he was told not to eat honey. That's the Gemara's example. Right? He was told not to eat honey, and he ate honey. So the Gemara says that, no, now that's his fault, that's his responsibility, and I don't have to pay for the recurring medical bill. So my Gorgas, and then the Gemara over here tries to define terms, Amar Abaye, Nata Krichta. So the Gemara describes it as, in Aramaic terms, basically Rashi describes it as dead flesh. My associate, and then the Gemara here, just a little bit of medical advice given by the Gemara. Like all medical advice of the Gemara, don't try it at home. That's the Gaon. This goes back to the time of the Gaonim. Gaonim already said it. But anyway, the Gemara says, aloe kira vekaluba, combination, a blend of aloe, wax, and some residue that comes out of the wine barrels. The E amarle, now, let's have the following possible dialogues that takes place between the Chovel and the Nechbal. Meaning, I damaged somebody. Now I have to pay for his medical bills. Let's say the following dialogue takes place. So let's say the Chovel says to the Nechbal, look, let's do the following. Let's not go to the doctor. Right? I looked it up on the internet. I know exactly how to heal you. I'm like, just... Can we do that? So Amar Lay, so the victim could say to the Chovel, Dami Saleika Arye Arva, you are a lion. You're the one who caused the pain. You're the one who inflicted me. So no, the victim, this is kind of obvious, but the Gemara says it. The victim could say to the Chovel, I can insist that you're the one who's going to heal me. So maybe, can the Chovel say to the Nechbal, look, let's go get some really cheap medicine. So the Gemara says, or how about this? Right, this is the way Rashi sets up this case. We'll go to a doctor, but he's a relative of mine. He'll charge close to nothing. Okay, I'm just trying to be comical right now. And he didn't really get a medical degree. But he watched a lot. He watched a lot of surgeries on YouTube. Whatever the case is. So the Gemara says. So b'magin. I'm sorry. D'magin b'magin. Amalei asya d'magin b'magin. Magin shava. Gemara says, beautifully over here, you get what you pay for. Meaning, if the kind of medical advice that you're getting is free medical advice, that's how much it's going to be worth. So the Gemara says, V'i amar ma'isin lach asya rechika. So the Gemara says, okay, but listen, how about this? Let me get for you a doctor from the Caribbean islands. Okay, he's excellent, and he's a lot cheaper than the local doctors over here. Amarle asya rechika, ene avira v'amarle heich. I'm sorry, Aina Avira. So the Gemara says a doctor from an imported doctor that came on the cheap, so he's going to blind me. And as Rashi explains over here, and there's not going to be any follow-up, and he's not going to care. So, right, follow-up becomes an important part of the medical practice. So the Gemara says, how about this? Can the victim say to the chovel, look, you give me money, I'll take care of it. So the Gemara says there, the Chovel can reject that idea as well. So he says, what do you mean? You're going to take the money, you're going to be poshe, you're going to be negligent, and then you're going to come back at me and you're going to extract more money out of me. So there, the Chovel can reject that plan as well. Can they make the following decision with one another? Can we make a lump sum payment of how much it's going to be? Can we settle right now how much it's going to be? The Gemara says no. Because if they settle from the beginning of how much it's going to be, well there, maybe that settled amount is not going to be enough for the medical bills. And then, even though there was a settlement and even though there was an agreement, what the victim is going to go around saying is, you see that guy over there? That guy over there injured me. Now, he won't tell everybody about the settlement and the agreement, but I didn't get enough for my medical bills. And it's because of him, and he's going to go around telling everyone. So the Gemara says to avoid that, so basically the Gemara rejects the idea of settlements. Tana. Okay, Adkan. That takes us to the end of the discussion. Okay, let's stop over here. Even though there's more coming up on the way, where there's more of today's daf to do, but we'll tomorrow we'll pick it up. So again, let's just quickly recap discussion in the Gemara today in terms of what cases are going to be settled and judged outside of Eretz Yisrael through the idea of shlichusayu, that the judges in the courts outside of Eretz Yisrael, even though they don't have smicha, they're going to be acting as proxy. And the Gemara's conclusion is that there are two criteria. One, it has to be a common case, like loans, like damages that are expected. Uncommon cases are not going to be judged outside of Eretz Yisrael. Two, is that it has to represent actual financial damage. Meaning if it's a kanas, if it's punitive, that's not going to be judged outside of Eretz Yisrael. So it has to match those two criteria. And those cases, and only those cases, are going to be judged outside of Eretz Yisrael through the concept of shlichusayu. Then we started the discussion today of what if I inflict just pain on somebody without an actual wound. So we went through a braisa, ben Azai and Rebbe, and of multiple ways of how to understand that braisa. But when all said and done, our Mishnah and the Halacha takes the position that if I cause pain to somebody without a wound, I have to pay for that pain. How do we isolate the payment of pain? The Gemara went through a discourse on that as well. But basically the answer is very simply, how much am I ready to pay somebody in order not to experience that particular pain? And then the Gemara talked about recurring medical bill and recurring disability. A machlokus between three tanayim in terms of whether or not I pay for the recurring medical bill and disability. And the Gemara's conclusion over there is that you do pay, as long as it is a complication from the original wound, I pay for both. And then the Gemara's discussion of doctors practicing medicine, and the discussion in the Gemara of possible settlements, possible agreements that are made between Chovel and Nechbal over the medical bills. But the Gemara rejects most, a lot of the unusual dialogues that takes place between the two.